Tonight is Wednesday, May 16th. This is the women's Mishnah Gemara share. We're up to Chulin, top of Daf, Kuf Tes Vav Amud Alef.
Okay, Rabotai. Last week and the week before, we had discussed the back and forth between Rav Yishmael and Rav Ashi as to what might ought be the source of the prohibition not to eat basar b'chalav. So the standard, more popular explanation was that of Rabbi Yishmael, who said it is the fact that the prohibition of cooking is written three times. And once they used it for cooking, once for eating, and once for not having hanah. Rav Ashi, however, did not record that particular source. He recorded the source of lo tochal kol to'eva. You are not permitted to eat anything which I, the Holy One, blessed be He, determines is an abomination. So anything which I prohibit in any fashion whatsoever is defined by me as an abomination. Once it's defined as an abomination, you are not permitted to eat it. What makes basar b'chalav an abomination? The Torah said, you're not allowed to cook it. That it says, you're not allowed to cook it. So, if there would be nothing wrong with basar b'chalav, why would the Torah tell you not to cook it? Apparently, since the Torah tells you not to cook basar b'chalav, it's an abomination. As a result, Rabbi Rav Ashi says, he cites the pasuk, lo tochal kol to'eva. You are not permitted to eat anything which I, God, have defined as something as to'eva. That was his, and then we spent the 2 weeks trying to understand why Rabbi Yishmael doesn't like Rav Ashi, and why Rav Ashi doesn't like Rabbi Yishmael's opinion. The Gemara now, on the next Amud, is going to try to explore Rav Ashi in applying him to other prohibitions as well. And the first thing that the Gemara asks is on the top of the page, which is Daf Kuf Tet Vav Amud Aleph. And the number, unfortunately, was erased, but the number is number 26. Number 26. Because, as I said today, from now on we don't number numbers in order. We just, whoever played a significant role in the previous Yankee win gets to be on my source sheet. So, last night's game was called after six innings because it was raining after five and a half innings. And today, the makeup game and the scheduled game was also rained out. Because the game was in Washington, it was raining all over the place. So, Tyler Austin was number 26. He drove in all three runs last night. So therefore, that first page is number 26. In case you wanted to know. In case you wanted to know.
We could come over here and see
that's all. That's also in addition to learning Chulin, you know something about the Yanks. You know, I have more to talk about with your kids. Probably more than talking about Chulin. Okay, ask the Gemara. Ma'aseh Shabbat Litzuru. Ma'aseh Shabbat Litzuru. Anything that is cooked on Shabbat should be prohibited to be eaten. Why? Dahati'avti lecha. I have made anything cooked on Shabbos, I, God, have rendered it as an abomination. How do I know? Because Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, Ki Kodesh Hi Lachem. The whole Pasuk is Ushma. If you look on the left-hand side of the page, there is a commentary that just fills in the full Pasuk. It's the first citation. Ushmartem et HaShabbat, Ki Kodesh Hi Lachem. You shall observe the Shabbos because it is holy. Darshins the Gemara. He kodesh, the ain maaseha kadosh. He kodesh ve'ein ma'aseha kadosh. That's the Gemara's answer, in effect. Namely, I prohibit cooking on Shabbos. Right? I prohibit cooking on Shabbos. So, by definition, anything that is cooked on Shabbos should now be called an abomination. And therefore, you should not be permitted to eat it. So, in order to appreciate what the Gemara's question is, we have to see another Gemara in Chulin, then look at Rashi here, how he applies it based on the primary source of this halacha. It's called Ma'aseh Shabbos. What happens if a melacha is done on Shabbos? Are you permitted to derive the benefits from it or not? So go to page number 40 for a minute. Number 40.
Who's 40?
Because that's Severino. He pitched the day before and it was the winning pitcher. Number 40. He's 6-1 now. And he leads the major leagues over the last 2 years of pitched games in which he's given up one or no runs. That's unbelievable. 15 games he's pitched in the last 2 years where he's given up only one or no runs. So that's why we're honoring Mr. Number Severino tonight. So the Gemara in Maseches Chulin and Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph says, quotes a Mishnah, Disnan. It's a Mishnah in Bava Kamma. There are going to be three opinions. Hamivashel b'Shabbos, if somebody cooks on Shabbos, and it's not only cooking, the illustration is always cooking, but it applies to all 39 melachot. I should actually say 38 melachot. I'm going to discuss that in a second. Hamivashel b'Shabbos, b'shogeg yochal. If he cooked it on Shabbos b'shogeg, he forgot that today was Shabbos. And then he realized that after he cooked it, that it was Shabbos. He is allowed to eat the product that he cooked. B'mezid lo yochal, divi Rabbi Meir. B'mezid, he is not permitted to eat it. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'shogeg yochal b'motzo'ei Shabbat. If he cooks b'Shabbos on b'shogeg on Shabbos, he's not permitted to eat it on Shabbos, but he is permitted to eat it on motzo'ei Shabbat. When? B'chdei sheya'asu. It means the amount of time that it would have taken him to cook it on after Shabbos, that's how much he has to wait after Shabbos. So if it's a pot of spaghetti that he cooked, so how long does the spaggetti take to cook? How long?
10 minutes.
So 10 minutes after Havdalah, that's when he can eat the spaghetti. However, b'mezid lo yochal olamit. B'mezid, he is never permitted to eat it. But anybody else is allowed to eat it. Why is he not permitted to eat it? Because we don't want him to benefit from his melacha. He cooked it b'mezid, so Rabbi Yehuda punishes him and says, you will never be able to benefit from that cooking.
But he gets benefit from... If I cook something, I get benefit from the fact that my children are now fed.
That's correct. Okay. But that's his opinion. He can't eat it. Your kids can eat it.
What's the status of that piece of food on Shabbos now? Is that piece of food like a televa or a...
Okay, that's what we're going to talk about.
Because that's what this addresses.
That's what we're going to talk about. That's exactly what we're going to... So that's a second opinion. Now, the first opinion said, shogeg, you're allowed to eat it. No problem. B'mezid, you're not allowed to eat it. Now, when are you not allowed to eat it according to Rabbi Meir? Till when? He doesn't say explicitly, but the assumption is only during the course of the Shabbos. After Shabbos, Even if he cooked it b'mezid, he is allowed to eat it. It's only not to benefit on Shabbos from a maisa avera b'mezid.
Because the other one said, "I'll allow this one."
Correct. Rabbi Yehuda says, "I don't want him to benefit, even if it's done b'shogeg. I don't want it because shogeg is an airhead. He forgot that it was Shabbos, or he forgot that you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. So we don't want an airhead to benefit from the fact that he cooked on Shabbos. So therefore, even b'shogeg lo yochal olam ad motzoi Shabbos b'mezid." Lo yochal olamit. Who is not permitted to eat it forever, according to Rabbi Yehuda? No, only the person who cooked it. Now comes the third opinion. Rabbi Yochanan Hasandla, Rabbi Yochanan, the shoeman, said, B'shogeg yochal lemotzoei Shabbat le'acherim v'lo lo. On Motzoei Shabbat, if he cooked it b'shogeg, anyone else is allowed to eat it, but he is never allowed to eat that which he cooked on Shabbos, even b'shogeg. But b'mezid lo yochal olamit lo lo v'lo acherim. If he cooked it b'mezid, under those circumstances, he is never permitted to eat it, nor is anyone else permitted to eat it. So we have three opinions in the Gemara about Mevashel B'Shabbos. Rabbi Meir is the most lenient, who says that B'Shogeg, he is allowed to eat it. B'Mezid, he is allowed to eat it, but he has to wait till after Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says, B'shogeg, you must wait till after Shabbos, even you. B'mezid, you are never allowed to eat it, but anybody else is allowed to eat it. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says, B'shogeg, anyone else can eat it, Motzoei Shabbat. He can't eat it, Motzoei Shabbat. And B'mezid, no one on this planet is allowed to eat it. Three different opinions. This machloket is quoted in several places in Shas. Just in case you are doing Daf Yomi or something, you'll come across it. Bava Kama 71a. You'll come across it in Ketubot on 34a. Several places the Gemara discusses it. And all the Rishonim say that this rule of Maaseh Shabbos, even though the example of cooking was always used, it applies to all 39 melachot. All 39 melachot. So if you knitted a garment, the same machloikis would be. According to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, you are never allowed to wear it. No one is allowed to wear it. If you did it b'mezid, if you did it b'shogeg, you can't wear it on Shabbos. Anybody else can wear it after Shabbos.
Well, if you did it, aren't you liable for the death penalty?
Yes.
So, but in our time, it's different because there are people who maybe would do it and they won't get the death penalty. But in those days, why was it even an issue? Because they were going to be killed anyway.
They won't.
I thought you do.
Witnesses.
Yeah, but if he's already sharing it with people, there's obviously.
How did they know he cooked it on Shabbos? Yeah. And he didn't have to share it. That's just the question. Who is allowed to eat it?
So in all three opinions, when they say Saturday night, they mean allow enough time for him to eat.
That's what Rashi says. Bichdei sheya'asu. That is correct. With the amount of time lapsed after Shabbos to allow for what it could have been taking you, that's correct. Rashi.
It's supposed to be a deterrent for cooking.
Of course. Yeah, supposed to be a deterrent for Michal Shabbos.
But if someone did it on purpose anyway, what do they care? Then they're going to just...
I know. So they're not going to... Okay, that's true. If they're ready, Michal Shabbos, who's the... So they had a blitz. A blitz came and said, I want to do tshuva. Okay, now you want to do tshuva, but you're not allowed to eat it. I know, it's a good question. If a guy's already turning on the flame and cooking on Shabbos, who cares he's going to listen to this, that you're not allowed to eat it? Of course. The Shogeg, you want... Correct. So we're going to talk about the Shogeg in 2 seconds. But first I want to say something else. According to the majority of Rishonim, as I just said, it applies to all 39 Malachas. Here is what happened many, many years ago in Teaneck. It was an NCSY Shabbaton. Okay? And the guy who was driving all of the food for the NCSY Shabbaton, there was enormous traffic jam on the New Jersey Turnpike. He was coming from the Turnpike. And he came in to Bnei Yeshurun, where the Shabbaton was, after Tzei Takochavim. They were finishing Maariv, and this guy pulls up in his truck. From guy. He was a kid, he didn't know, you know, I can't blame, no one was angry at him why he kept driving on Shabbos. Can't expect a 20-year-old kid to pull over to the side and say, I'm going to spend Shabbos on the turnpike. Or get off in Elizabeth, wherever it was. Couldn't happen. Fine, he's got plenty of food, exactly. Right. So at the time, Rabbi Gordon, Zichrono Livracha, asked myself, Rabbi Ozelevsky, to just sit around and let's talk this question over. Okay? So our initial...
He was allowed to go home.
Correct. No, he asked everybody to stay in shul. In case you wouldn't be allowed to eat it, he was going to ask everybody, you take 2 kids, you take 3 kids, right, to give them some food for Shabbos. No one had any problem with that. So, you know, the Gemara came to my head right away. And, you know, no one thought there's any way out. Rabbi Zalewski is looking through the Chayei Adam, which is a latter-day book of halacha, generally incredibly machmir, and he said, this halacha only applies to 38 malachot, not to hotza'ah. Taking something from a rishus harabim into a rishus hayachid, it doesn't apply. And he says the reason why. The reason why is hotza'ah is defined by Tosvot on Daf Bet Amud Aleph and Masechet Shabbat as Milacha Giru'ah. It is an inferior quality Milacha. Why is it inferior? Because every other Milacha, bar none, improves the item from stage 1 to stage 2. So take the first 11 of the 39, which is the bread making process. So first you plow, then you plant, then you harvest, then you winnow and you sift and things. Everything is what? Then you grind, then you knead the dough, then you bake. Everything is improving the product from nothing to what? To a fresh challah. And same thing when you do stitching. First you make the two, stitches, then it becomes a whole garment, whatever it is. Fine. So the Chayei Adam said that the reason why Ma'aseh Shabbos is Asur is because what you did was a creative act on Shabbos to enable something which was not usable before, and now you made it suitable to be used. That's what the act of cooking does. The spaghetti was raw. I cooked it, so now I can eat it. Hotza'ah does not make an improvement in the item itself. All it does is take the item and transfer it from domain A to domain B. That's all it does. But there is no qualitative change in that particular item. Therefore, Tosfos calls it an inferior quality malacha, malacha grua. This Chayei Adam, who lived at the end of the 19th century, said, I'm going to take that svar of Tosfos and say it doesn't apply to this halacha. So therefore, once we found the Chayei Adam, so somebody to rely on, we told everybody they can go home, and we told all the kids to help unload the truck for all the food, bring it in from the truck into the shul for Shabbos, and now they had their Shabbaton.
Yes. The guy was driving, had nothing to do with it. It was nothing to do with the food, the fact that
that was my question.
Correct. He didn't touch the food.
But driving is not himself. In other words,
no, but I understand. But the food wasn't involved in the malacha. The malacha that we have to be concerned about is that this food, at one time on Shabbos, it was on the New Jersey Turnpike, which is a Rishus HaRabim, and now you're going to bring it into the shul, which is a Rishus HaYachid.
So the driving was only applying to the driver, and he couldn't have enough.
That's correct. That's not a problem.
It had nothing to do with the food.
Nothing to do with the food.
If he was driving though within Teaneck, you wouldn't have even had to have this discussion because it was all within Eirut?
Okay, for, at the time there was no Eruv, but even number two, it would be an Issa de Rabbanan. If there was a, first of when he got off the highway, on the highway there was no Eruv. So he would, so he'd have brought it from a Rosh Hashanah into a Carmelis, which is only an Issa de Rabbanan.
Before the entered Teaneck right before Teisa Bafavim, but he didn't get to be an assurance.
Okay, so that, okay, that's okay. So then he was already in a Carmelis. So we would, the question would be, are you allowed to carry from a Carmelis into a shul, Rosh Hashanah? So it's Asa de Rabbanan. That's it's much more lenient. That's all.
So let's say yes. Someone from walk from the other side of Route 4 to our side of Route 4, somehow bypassing, you know, being outside of an area for some period of time.
Yeah, that one
side
you
can't
cross.
Right.
Someone, and carried you about a line.
So, in theory, yeah,
third, anyway,
he didn't know about it, right? He didn't, did the, I don't he think he did do it deliberately, did it be shogeg. So now you'd have to see who you're paskin like. Mm-hmm. Do you paskin like Rabbi Meir or paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? That's the question. We'll see. We don't ask that question in this class. Now, that's, this is the basis of this particular critical halakha. Now go back to Rashi on our daf and see which, to which case Rashi is going to apply our Gemara. Rashi is going to ask, why, let's see what Rashi says. Ma'aseh Shabbos, kigon hamevashel b'Shabbos, the top right hand. Ma'aseh Shabbos. Somebody did an act on Shabbos. What did he do on Shabbos? He cooked on Shabbos. Rashi knew that that's the Gemara's example always. So the Gemara's asking, litziru, it should be prohibited ba'achila lechol Yisrael. Every Jew should be prohibited from eating this food on Shabbos. Deha his articha, I warn you, says God, l'ta'avo, l'hitrachek mimenu. When did God say that it's becoming a toeva? What did God say about this food? Don't cook it on Shabbos. Just as he said, don't cook milk and meat. So too, God said, don't cook on Shabbos. The anan tanan, and we learned in a Mishnah, b'mezid lo yochal hu mishum knas, aval acherim ochlin. He is not permitted to eat it. Why? Because we want to fine him, because he did it b'mezid. But somebody else who did not do the actual cooking has no problem with what? With eating it. Asks the Gemara, why shouldn't somebody else be prohibited from eating it because it is a toeva? And even him, what's the only reason which Rashi gave us, which is based on the Gemara, why I am not allowed to eat it after I cooked it? It's a fine. But I'll pidin, if not for the fine, not only would someone else be able to eat it if I cook, but I would be able to eat it. So who believes that b'mezid, someone else is allowed to eat it, but only he can't eat it as a fine? Who does he believe? Whose opinion of the three is Rashi quoting? Who says that he can't eat it, but somebody else can eat it, b'mezid? Who says that? Rabbi Yehuda. Good. So Rashi's formulating the question according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who distinguishes between himself and somebody else. asks the Gemara, according to Rashi, why is it that someone else is allowed to eat it if it's to'eva? That's Rashi's question.
So, yes. In general, can something that has a status of to'eva lose that status and become not a to'eva?
No. Once it's a to'eva, it can never become permissible. Just like basa b'chalav can never become permissible.
Some of these people don't believe it's a to'eva?
That's the Gemara's question. That's the question. Why is it that there is any debate? Why is that? Why did I show you a three-way machloket? What to do with it? It should be an open and shut case, according to all of them. Should be one opinion. If it's cooked on Shabbos, b'mezit, what's the halacha? You can't eat it.
Nobody forever.
Forever.
And what you're describing sounds like if somebody had then the guy cooking in your house on.
I'm not. This is not a guy. This is talk about our Jew boy. This is our Jew boy. Yes.
How do you know it's classified as a
toivah
and not muktzah or something?
Muktzah doesn't enter a discussion on a d'oraita level. Muktzah is a d'rabbanan. Here there was much more serious issue than muktzah. Somebody cooked a Jew cooked on Shabbos. We don't have to talk about muktzah here. Muktzah is a din derabbanan. I'll tell you the fact. Once we say that you're not allowed to eat this thing that is cooked, then it will also become muktzah. So you could move it on Shabbos. But after Shabbos, the Issur muktzah disappears. But we're asking, you should never be able to eat this meat. Or the spaghetti. Yes?
Could it possibly be two meanings of whether the action is a to'eva as opposed to the food is a to'eva?
Oh! Brilliant! That's going to be, we'll see. No, we're going to see the answer of the Gemara.
That goes into the third.
Good! Excellent! Excellent! Good head! Excellent! I'll give you a award at graduation.
Just give it to you.
Excellent! So that's the Gemara's question. Now notice that Rashi believed that the Gemara's question is on what type of a desecration.
Oh, that's the three things. One second.
What type of a case did Rashi apply the question to? What was the case?
B'mezid.
So apparently, b'shogeg, Rashi does not believe that the Gemara's question is applicable. The Gemara's question is it's not applicable even b'shogeg. Now, shogeg, according to everybody, is considered a ma'asei aveira. It's not. That's the question. According to Rashi, even though it's a ma'aseh aveira to cook b'shogeg, and you have to bring a korban chatas, and so on and so forth, but it's not. Rashi does not believe that b'shogeg it will be identified as a to'eva. Correct. It will. That's correct. Now, hold on 1 second. Just 1 second. Does anybody remember Rashi's comment about how something became basa b'chalav?
Fell off of the shelf into the...
Good. That's less than shogeg.
Right.
That's an one, an accident.
Right.
Rashi said, in relationship to what? To basa b'chalav. Mm-hmm. I am willing to apply the standard of to'eva... Even if he said a Gentile cooked it, or who else? A child, a minor cooked it. Or if it fell, we added to Rashi, it fell in by itself. Apparently by Shabbos, Rashi is not willing to go that far. Rashi's not willing to go that far. He is only willing to ask the question only in relationship to what? Only in relationship to mezid. To mezid. Not to basar b'chalav. Not to basar b'chalav. Not to... By basar b'chalav, Rashi doesn't care. By Shabbos, he limits it only to a case of mezid. He writes that and he's serious about it.
Then we
what she said was it shows that it's really the action, the status of the thing itself. And if
that's going to be the Gemara's answer, in effect.
And if you move and say this one isn't a toeva, then it means since one is and one isn't the food itself that has that status, it must be
good.
The way it was done.
So correct.
Backwards.
Good. So the Gemara answers, now go to the Gemara before I show you the Aruch Laner, second line of the Gemara, Amakra, the Pasuk says, Ki Kodesh Hi Lachem. Correct. Shabbos is holy. Drash. Hi Kodesh Ve'ein Ma'aseh HaKodesh. There is a special drash to exempt it from the status of Toeva. Namely, it is sanctified, the day of Shabbos. But the produce of a violation of Shabbos ain ma'aseh ha-kodesh. So now in halachic jargon, what does this mean? That by basa b'chalav, the focus is on the creation of the chefza. It's what is the abomination by basa b'chalav is the item. The item. The fact that it's a cooked item. I don't care, apparently, how it gets cooked. Who does the cooking? That doesn't interest me. It's the production of the item that is now identified as a toeva. Same thing like most other foods. By most other foods, how does something become an avela? Somebody shechted, and he didn't do it, or he took out a gun and he shot the animal. That's not a violation. Okay, it's not a nice thing to do, but you don't violate anything by shooting an animal. You don't violate anything. The isur is always on the chefza. Don't eat the nevela. A trefa, certainly nobody did anything wrong. God created the animal with some type of physical defect. That is not that's not per people oriented, but item oriented. Therefore, Rashi correctly said, I couldn't care less how the item became basa b'chalav, whether there was a transgression or not. As long as milk and meat have been cooked together, it is that toeva. By Shabbos, the focus is on what? On the isur malach, on doing the malacha, lo ta'aseh kol malacha. Therefore, Rashi correctly says the only time where I believe this discussion takes place is if there was a real, full-fledged violation that is b'mezid. So, in theory, if you cook b'mezid, that item that you cook should be usur for every person on the planet, le'olam va'ed. So the Gemara answers, it's an exception to the rule. Why? He kodesh ve'ein ma'aseha kodesh. Kacha omeret ha-Gemara. Yes? Okay, that's what we could have said. But since Rashi told us if a piece of meat fell off, you didn't violate Lo Tavashel. If a Gentile cooked it, he didn't violate Lo Tavashel. There was no violation of the prohibition. None. But by Shabbos, as we will see in a minute, unless there is an Isur Malacha, you can be Nehenah from anything that takes place on Shabbos. Unless there is an Isur Malacha. Let's take a look for a second at page 99. It's the one right after 40. That's the judge's number.
27.
No, 27 is the Aruch Laner. I want you to go to 99. Oh, it's right after 27, exactly. Number 99.
You should give us the name and we have to match the number.
Excellent. Next time. Okay.
I'll study the answer.
Okay. 99. This is the Chassam Sofer commenting on our Gemara. And he will teach us a very important halacha. V'harei Shabbos, licha orat sorich iyun. apparently, initially says the Chassam Sefer, something is bothering me. And he raises the question between Rashi's comment by Basa B'Chalav and Shabbos. Toha B'Pirish Rashi, the Basa B'Chalav Hevetoeva, Mishum Da'afilu Bishla Goy, O Katan, Shelo Ne'evda Ba'aveira. Nonetheless, Mikol Makob, Habishul, the item that was cooked, Mitu'ab is disgusting. Mitu'ab is disgusting. Midoraita. V'chein tipat chalav shenafla ala chaticha me'eleha. Right? You have the freezer case. Blackout, ice cream in the freezer, piece of steak underneath. It just melts right onto the steak, and then you cooked it. Mikol makom asura min haTorah. V'imkein b'Shabbos de min haTorah mutarim kol hamilachot al yedei goy. Mita oraita, I'm allowed to ask a goy to do any melacha for me on Shabbos. Mita oraita. The Rabbanon say amira l'nachri shvut. Asking a Gentile to do a melacha is asur midrabbanan, unless there are circumstances where the rabbi suspended. V'chein mishalshalim ha-pesach litanu l'toch ha-tanur im chashecha v'hi nitzlet me'ileo b'Shabbos. Okay? Here is the case. Pesach is Saturday night. Okay? Pesach is Friday night. Friday night, like it was this year. So I shechted my Pesach Friday afternoon, and the only way to eat the Korban Pesach is to roast it. So 2 seconds before Shabbos, I put the Korban Pesach on the spit, and it's going to roast. According to Torah law, you're allowed to eat it. Ubi Rushalmi Perikama de Shabbos, and Rushalmi first parak of Shabbos, Yalef Le Mikro. We learned this out from a pasuk. Sheishet Yamim Taaseh Melachtecha, 6 days you shall do your work. Ubayom Ashvi Piresh Sha'afilu Bishvi'i Yaaseh Melachtecha Al Yedei Melechet Sheishet Yamim. As long as your work is completed when? On the sixth day, even if the machine is still working on the seventh day, there is nothing wrong with it. Kigon, potkim mayim ligina im chashecha, v'hit mitmaleit v'holechet kol haShabbos kula. I want to water my lawn. So what do? I turned the sprinkler on 2 minutes before Shabbos. And a whole Shabbos it's watering my lawn. I have violated absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Not absolutely nothing. So, and this actually applies lima'aseh to 38 melachot. Except cooking. The rabbi said, we're not going to allow this halacha for cooking. Why? Because they're afraid that somebody is going to come home from shul and say, it's not ready yet. Please raise the flame. Raising the flame will be asur midoraisa, mishum havara. It's one of the 39. Therefore, the rabbi said, there is only one way that you can put something up to cook right before Shabbos.
If it's
totally raw. Because if it's totally raw, there is no expectation that it's going to be cooked, you know, by the time he gets home from shul on Friday night. But it's only a derabbanan. That's what the rabbanan said. And we go crazy with the derabbanan. So it has to be cooked before Shabbos. And then you can keep it on the flame, you know, to keep warm, but it has to be mevusho kol tzarcho, either two ways. Either it has to be fully cooked, or it has to be totally raw. But if it's any other stage where cooking will improve the quality of the product, under those circumstances, you cannot...
And Shabbat should be either right before Shabbos or ready to eat Friday night? That's what you describe it. You're saying like 2 hours before, you're saying is not good.
You can put the
it's covered.
No, that doesn't work for that. It's different. It's a totally different issue. Totally different issue.
I thought it said you won't adjust the flame.
What?
I thought it said you won't adjust the flame.
That's correct. You won't adjust the flame. But the first thing that they guaranteed you have to have, that there won't be any temptation to adjust the flame. How will you not have temptation? By...
Some
of
the people make it at 12 o'clock. It's not cooked
for Shabbos. Yeah. Why not? So it can be cooked in a couple
hours. I did it right before. I like the raw one.
Okay. Okay. Fine. So now... Im Kain asks the Chassam Sofer, Einenu Toeva? It's not an abomination, the fact that it's what? Cooking during Shabbos. Va'afilu Yisrael sha'asa melacha b'Shabbos, Eino elo na'ase ba'aveira, aval Einenu Toeva. What is the status of a Jew who did malacha on Shabbos? He did an aveira. But what happened? The item does not become a toeva. Because the focus is what? On the person not doing malacha, to rest. Leman yanuach. The purpose is not the item, the object, it's the gavra. Not the chefza, it's the person not doing the melacha. Correct.
I don't think that meat has to be cooked a certain amount.
What is that?
I thought meat has to be cooked a certain amount before Shabbos starts. Like those robbers, it can't be.
Hey, that happens to be one opinion. One opinion is that if it's kima'achal ben derusoi, like this Druzy gang. They were always on the run because they were thieves. So they never stopped in one place too long. How much is machal ben rusoi? It's a machloikis. Some say it's 1/3 cooked. The others say it's half cooked. So some rishonim say that as long as it's already been cooked, you are allowed to put it on the flame without any concern because it's already been cooked.
Right.
But other Rishonim say, since additional cooking will improve the quality, even though the Druzy gang would eat it earlier, but we like it well done, under those circumstances, the halacha applies. That's the way the halacha is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. That even if it has been cooked, kimachal ben rusoi, you should not put it up unless you take the precautions. That it's not directly on the Eish, it's Eish Mechusa, a blech, and you know, and so on and so forth. That's those, right, if it's already been cooked. Yes. When I say you're allowed to put it on the but if it's raw, you can put it on the flame itself without a blech. Because there is no chashash that you're going to raise it.
So,
no, a crock pot is Eish Mechusa. You don't see the flame. Anytime it's Eish Mechusa, we don't believe, because don't forget, at that time, in order to raise, they didn't have a dial.
Right.
You had to stoke the fire and put the wood on. That's why we can take advantage of that. If it's Mechusa, it's not like it was in the time of the Gemara, where they actually covered it in order to remind them. Yes?
The first action is on the Gavra, but there is a second action
No.
Now, the gavra is the first thing, and I understand that, but doesn't it also turn into a chefza?
That's the Gemara's question. It becomes a chefza of asur. Answer the Gemara based on the pasuk. He kodesh the Shabbos, the malacha, the ein ma'aseha. The products that are made on Shabbos do not become asur. That's the Gemara's answer. Exactly. Yeah. So, if you... Now, take a look at page 25. I forgot to bracket it. It's the where it says towards the bottom, it's a Tosfot in Bava Kamma, which the caption reads, Ma Kodesh Asur Af Ma'aseh Shabbos Asurim. Now, I forgot to quote the Gemara there. The Gemara there says that there is actually a possibility of saying, once it says, he Kodesh, I could have said that the produce of Shabbos is considered Kodesh Asur Bahanah. How does the Gemara resolve and say that it's mutter? It says, ki kodesh hi lochem. Lochem means to what? To derive benefit from it. Ki kodesh hi, Shabbos is holy. But what's one of the purposes of Shabbos is for us to enjoy it. And when there are many occasions where the Torah uses the word lochem, and it's designed specifically to teach me that we are to derive benefit from it. For example, in Shemot chapter 12, where the Torah prohibits melacha on Yom Tov. Melacha on Yom Tov. So the Torah says, there's an exception to the Issa melacha on Yom Tov. What do we call the major category? Ochel Nefesh. Pasuk says, Ki chol asher yeyachel lechol nefesh, hu levado yeyaseh lochem. So the Gemara darshins, lochem lechol tzorcheichem, for all of your needs. And the Gemara comes up with a halacha based on that extra word lochem. Could have said, hu levado yeyaseh. What do I have the word lochem for? So Rabbi Yehuda teaches us that on Yom Tov, machshirei ochel nefesh are permissible. Anybody want to take a stab at what machshirei ochel? What is lahachshir, a machshir, to prepare? Good. Here is my case. I have a meat, a roast that I want to cut, and the knife is totally dull. Are you allowed to sharpen a knife on Yom Tov? So normally, tell me, why are you not allowed to sharpen a knife on Yom Tov? What malacha does sharpening a knife fall under?
Is it grinding?
Not grinding, nope. Correct, makah b'patish. You are fixing the item. This is a knife that doesn't work. When you go, when that man in the truck comes and you give him your knife, it now sharpens it. It's now a usable tool.
That would be it.
And if it makes it that, you know, some, I don't know what exactly the criteria are. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, so even though it's makah b'patish, is makah b'patish normally permissible on Yom Tov? Absolutely not. But you're allowed to sharpen the knife. Because it says, lochem lechol tzorchechem, for any need that you might have. And if I have to sharpen the knife in order to cut the meat, you're allowed to do that on Yom Tov. Machshirei ochel nefesh, adoche Yom Tov, based on the word lochem.
Even
that's a different opinion. If it's efshar lasosa me'erev Yom Tov, you can't do it on Yom Tov. If it was efshar, so now the knife, it would depend. If the knife wasn't sharpened on Erev Yom Tov, you can't do it. But if it was sharpened, it got a little dull because it hit a bone or something, whatever it is, then you can do it on Yom Tov. That's correct. That's correct.
Some people will open things, like not for food, but like some paper goods and stuff. Because I don't usually do that, but I know a lot of people do it because you're using it for food.
That's correct.
So you're allowed to do it.
That is correct.
To
open up plastic bags of paper cups and things like that. That would be based, right, but that's not, that probably is not the malach of makah b'patish. Because that's ripping up something, that's something else.
But you're doing
it's, that's, but it's, right.
I thought that
issue with that is that the bag is not usable once you've opened.
That's why some are matter it. You don't need that it's a machshir echon nefesh. Because once you open it up.
I remember one of the first times Rabbi Hem came in about opening up, I just opened up on the first time. I was like, okay, I'm going to ask.
It's mutter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if it says Kodesh in the Gemara's Hava Amina, before the Gemara answers, would you say if something was cooked b'shogeg, if it simply says Kodesh hi lachem, before we darshan hi Kodesh v'ein ma'aseh Kodesh, would we have applied it? Rashi said he didn't. Rashi gave us which case to which the Gemara wanted to prohibit making food on Shabbos. Only what type of case? Mazid. Not everybody agrees with Rashi. Some disagree because, as I said earlier, shogeg is a maisa aveira. Shogeg, even though you did it for shogeg, no one's going to put you to death. But shogeg is a maisa aveira. There is only, and everyone agrees to that. I'll tell you where there is a serious machloikis. By ones. Ones. It happened by accident. By accident. You're standing next to the light, and you slipped a little, and you pushed the light off, or put it on. Is that considered Ma'aseh Shabbos or not? And had we applied the halacha of which we do, Rabbi Shimon, all of the three, Rabbi Meir, do say you're not permitted to derive benefit. It's either on Shabbos or not.
You'd have to walk out of the room correctly.
Exactly. So now the question would be, if you believe that shogeg is prohibited, now shogeg is prohibited according to Rabbi Yehuda. For that person on Shabbos, he's allowed to use it after Shabbos. So if he includes, would he also include ones or not? That somebody or he himself fell against the light, pushed against the light, it turned on, must he go out of the room or not? Let's assume it's at night when the light is really beneficial, must he go out or not? So this is a machloikis achroinim, as to whether or not an ones is defined as a maisa aveira or not, and do you have to do tshuva on an action which is be ones? Or do we say, no, it was a total accident, and your actions are not defined as a maisa aveira? So what would be your gut reaction?
It's the same as a shogeg.
Yes. Why?
Because the act when you do the shogeg, it's the same thing. It's an accident. You didn't even know it was Shabbos.
No, it wasn't an accident. That's just, I forgot.
So you're an airhead. The Avera part was an accident.
Correct. Here.
The Avera part is also an accident.
Yes, it's not.
But it's less. It's not. There's no. I am not. I can't be held responsible for somebody pushing me against the line.
There's no intent.
That is correct. There is no intent.
With shogeg, you are negligent, even if you.
To some extent.
No,
you can't. Yes. So you were walking by. Somebody pushed you into it.
If you're really careful and you're really thinking about Shabbos, then you're not. I'm not saying it never happened.
Correct.
You shouldn't be negligent. And it's
good.
You're negligent. With an accident, that's like an act of God. Things happen.
Right, things happen. It's just, I was walking this way and somebody pushed me.
What if a pot on, it turns it on?
Okay, that's
different.
That's different. Okay. That's different.
It's still also not the same idea.
So Rab Chaim said, Rose grandfather said, I have a simple proof that it is considered a Maisa Aveira. From Vidui of Yom Kippur. Al chet shechatana lefonecha, the ones uveratzon. If it's not a maisa aveira, said Rav Chaim, why do you have to say al chet shechatana
beones? Well, the person who believes that wrote that one.
Yeah. That's from the Gemara.
Why not? The Gemara, people wrote the Gemara too.
I know, but
it's pretty early. That's earlier in the Gemara.
Yeah.
Maybe we should stop saying that.
I was just going to say that.
Maybe what?
Maybe we should skip that one.
Okay, no, I'm not.
I happen to like your example, so I couldn't understand how somebody would cook and you say they don't believe your Shabbos, but you do so often, not often, but in the middle of the night, there are people, like, whatever, you go to the bathroom and then you put the light, oh my God, it's Shabbos. That I could relate to so much more than cooking.
Right. Okay. Right. For us today, it's a little easier to illustrate the case. Now, go back to the first page, which is page 26, Tyler Austin's number, and go back to the pasuk on the left-hand side of the page and tell me what in the pasuk supports Rashi that this whole discussion is only b'mezid, not even b'shogeg, and certainly not b'ones. What in the pasuk did Rashi see to convince him to document it as a case only of mezid? What? Right, even before it says mechalea mot yumat. When do you give somebody skila? Only if it's b'mezid. B'shogeg, and certainly bonus, there's no einish. So, since the pasuk itself says, ki kodesh ilachem, michalek mot yumat, therefore, many say that Rashi saw this in the pasuk, and therefore, even though theoretically I can apply the prohibition to a case of shogeg and maybe even ones, but Rashi limits it only to mezid because the phrase right after kodesh hi lachem happens to be michaleleha mot yumat. Exactly. Therefore, under those circumstances, Rashi chooses to limit it only to either when there's skila, or in the absence of two edim, where you can't give skila, you get kares. V'nichrusa ha-nefesh ha-hi me'at mikerav amo. Mikerav amel. Yeah. So now, what the Gemara is going to do, and I'm going to set this up for the next year, in line 3 on page 26, the Gemara is going to go to others. Choresh Bishoru Bachamor. If somebody plowed with two different types of animals together. Now the chamor is a behemoth tamea, so you don't have to worry about eating it. But a shor, you can eat. You can shecht the shor. And here, the Torah has made it a toeva. How has the Torah made it a toeva? It said you can't, what? Plow the shor and the chamor together. So if I did plant the shor and the chamor together, what should I not be able to do? Eventually eat it. Or chosem pi para vidashba. Chosem pi para. The Torah states, lo tachsom shor bidisho. That when an ox is threshing, you are not permitted to muzzle its mouth. Well, I did muzzle its mouth. So I violated the law. Once I violated the law, it now becomes to'eva. So now when I take off the muzzle and now comes this ox's time to go, what do I want to do? I want to shecht it. The Torah should prohibit you from eating an ox that has been muzzled at the time of threshing, because kol sheti avti, whatever I made an abomination, you know, not because it says, lo tochal kol toeva. Yeah?
Why is it the ox and not the stuff that's being threshed by him?
Because the prohibition is on the ox, not the thresh food.
It's on me.
What? I understand. But it's, what did the Torah... The Torah didn't make an abomination, the threshing, the food that he's threshing. The Torah made an abomination on the ox. Don't put the muzzle on the ox. I could hear that as well, but right here, the Gemara's question is on... exactly. Even though Rashi says what you just said. Take a look at Rashi, the third line, litzeru, hazraim v'hadisha. The plants that you planted when you had a shor and a chamor. That's Rashi's opinion.
On the first page.
Tosfot, if you look at the Tosfot, in the middle of the page on the left-hand side, with the caption Choresh, says Tosis, what do we want to prohibit it? Piresh, Hashor v'achamor. Not the produce. So Rashi agrees with you. Tosis agrees with me. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll continue next Devach.
Is there ever any reference to something that you do with chametz on Pesach, that being a tereva?
Chametz on Pesach?
Yeah.
Matzah on Pesach is a tereva. You're not allowed to eat matzah. Lo tochal matzah. I mean chametz. Chametz.
Oh, I like that.
I mean chametz. Chametz. Chametz is... Yes. It's also b'han ana achila.
Because I'm trying to think of an example of when something is a tereva and then its status can change. That's the example.
Can't. Right, because, right.
That's the example.
That's correct. Because the Torah that's a very good question. That would be a good question. How do you eat chametz after Pesach? So there is an opinion that says, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that says it's asur le'olam v'ed. We don't possibly pass on Rabbi Shimon, but that would be perfect. Correct. That would be perfect. Yes.